It's June, guys. It's June already. Do you realize what that means? It's like, is anyone else freaking out and going, it's almost the middle of the year? This is crazy. What is going on? What about those goals that we had anointed in January? Ah, who's looked at them and just, or who hasn't even looked at them yet? And you're like, oh, it's June. I really should look at them. Yeah, okay. There's a couple of sneaky little hands. It's you get to this time of year, and I'm not saying it's the middle of the year because it's not really. We've still got a whole month, right, until it's actually the middle of the year. But it's, oh, what do we need? What did we say we were going to do? What are our intentions for the year? What are some of those things that are on our heart for 2024? And we put them out on our goals list. And even for us as a church, we put them on our goals list. And it's about bringing attention to them and having some reminders and a little bit of inspiration. So who remembers our, well, we've already talked about it this morning, our theme for the year, okay, devoted to hospitality. Who can remember the scripture that goes around that theme? I'm not going to ask you to stand and say it out loud. Just, you know, can you remember it? I mean, Davey, he pretty much said it this morning. So John spoke into it on our Vision Sunday. Every year we have a theme. Sometimes it's hunger for God. Sometimes it's deeper in the Word. This year it's devoted to hospitality. Comes straight out of the Scripture in Acts 2, verse 42. And I put that up on the screen behind us. And why don't we read it out together? Because it's just good to have that refreshment on it. And all the believers, let's say it together. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. This is what it's all about for C3 Powerhouse, both here and in Melbourne in 2024. This is people being devoted themselves to the Word of God, devoted to the Word of God, that's the apostles' teaching, to the people of God. And I love Bill sharing the small groups. This is where you find community. This is fellowship, devoting ourselves to fellowship and into sharing in meals. This is the people of God and to the presence of God, which is in prayer. We're devoted to the presence of God. Who's had communion in their Connect group this year? Give us a wave. Awesome. We love that. It's like we're intentionally saying, let's share in that more regularly than we normally would do. And the sacredness of that moment. We can share in it in church on a Sunday, but when you have it in a small group, there's something very sacred about it, very spiritual about stopping and remembering what Jesus has done for us. In February, and I'll put up that photo of, I didn't put up the photo of Ken and Margaret before. Did you see it? That was like, I don't know, in like 2005, maybe four, we were in this building, right? Because that was the concrete behind it. And that's, you were like, had a special award there. It was like a dream team celebration or something, I think it was, celebrating you for so many years. Okay, the other photo I had was of February. Put this one up. And this is when John talked. Remember he preached around a table. We've got the, yeah, that's you, Josh, right there in the middle of us. It's like, looking pumped on stage there. He's just got his, like, special resting face on. Okay, but look at the table. All right. It's got the flowers, it's got the bread, it's got the, you know, the wine symbolic of the communion moment. But this was to illustrate and put in front of us, this is what devoted to hospitality is, and this is what our focus is on for this year. John actually asked us to make a commitment to have people in our homes every month. Now it's June. How are we going with that? Good. Awesome. I love that. We're chipping away. We've got a list of people on our invite list for the year that we want to invite into our home. We're doing all right. We're like halfway there. Come on, we're chipping away. So it's my belief that we have great intentions, but then the actual doing of that can be a challenge because there's things that get in the way of our intentions, right? And so we need a bit of a halfway reminder and a bit of inspiration today to make it happen. And let's put it out there, some practical tips. All right, I'm all about the practical tips, how we actually make this happen because it's in our heart. We want to do it. But then there's stuff that happens. So it's like, how do we get over those obstacles and still make our intention our reality? We've got such a history in our church of sacred hospitality, of loaded pop-ins, of fridge rights in people's homes. It's crucial for our church. Hospitality is so important for us as a church, both here on site and in our homes. In fact, in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to have a Celebration Sunday, and this is where we celebrate all that God has done for our church and in the lives of people, the transformation. This is our what we're all about, transform lives. So we're going to have food. Of course we're going to have food at our Celebration Sunday, because that's what basically makes a party, right? Celebration food. So in the morning we're going to have party food, we're going to have ice creams, we're going to celebrate all that God has done. The kids are going to have a special program. Does it say it up there? Juiced Up Groms. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but they're a group that come and provide activities for our kids. So they're going to do some games. And at night time, free pasta. Oh, I don't know if you came to our Dream Team party a month or two ago. We had all Antica, a restaurant quality pasta. That's what we're getting on that night. So we don't do it too shabby around here, but that's coming up in two weeks' time? Yeah. So you're all invited to that. So let's talk about the biblical basis of hospitality, devoted to hospitality. We've got the Acts 2:42. Be given to meeting with each other and in homes. 1 Peter 4 verse 9, it says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I know Josh and Bonnie shared a little bit of the grumbling there, and that's the reality. I totally can relate to that. But this is a challenge for us. We live a faith-filled life, right? Okay, we're going to get there. We're going to be able to offer hospitality without grumbling or complaining, another version says. Verse 8, it says right before it, it says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. And this is the motivation, deep love. This is the motivation for hospitality, for showing kindness to strangers, for having people in your home, deep love. Not just love, it's deep love. Deep love overlooks sins. This is what it says in this scripture in Peter. He prefaces the hospitality, be hospitable to one another, with that verse saying, show deep love. Okay, another one in the Bible, I'll give you more of a biblical basis. Hebrews 13 verse 1. It says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. And then it goes on to say, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Again, this is based on love. It comes from a heart place where you want to show hospitality to people, to strangers. This is the kindness of inclusion. Yes, we can have our friends over and that's a fun, but expanding that out to have people that you don't know, that you have maybe said hi to on a Sunday and never really connected with. This is the kindness of inclusion. Culture of hospitality is around servanthood. Jesus was the most humble servant. He came not to serve, but to be, not to be served, but to serve. This was his heart. This was his love for people. And how much did Jesus do around food? Well, his first miracle, turning water into wine. Okay. There's a few amens going on around that today. He fed the 5,000. He was in a big grass paddock. He did it multiple times with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He ate in homes often with sinners. Even the Last Supper was around the table. This was Jesus' example for us. Acts 2:42, it says, and to sharing in meals, fellowship and sharing in meals. Let's talk about the benefits of devoted to hospitality. The three ones I'm going to talk about today is connection, growth, and revelation. Connection is about community. It's about getting to know people beyond a Sunday service. This is how community is formed and relationships are built. You are the connectors. I can't get around and meet everyone and have hospitality with everyone. Our pastoral team can't do that. You are the connectors. You're the ones inviting people into your home, doing meals together, having a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, going out for dinner, so that you can connect together, so that we can form community here at C3 Powerhouse. You're the glue. We're one body. A one body can be very disjointed, disconnected, if it doesn't have the connection together of relationships. That's the lifeblood that flows through the body. This is how the church is talked about in the scriptures. We are one body. So we need you to bring friendship, to bring people into your home, to feel a part of the family. This is the deep love that Peter is talking about. There's a mutual benefit. You get to make friends. You get to have connections. You get to learn from other people's journey and catch what's on them. Maybe you're here today. You don't have a relationship with God. In every service, we give an opportunity where you can invite Him into your world, because it's so much better done with God. And I don't know where you're up to in your faith or believing that there is a God. But let me tell you, oh, He loves you. He wants to be in relationship with you. And later on, I'll give you an opportunity to pray a prayer, inviting Jesus into your heart, because this is the most important relationship, the most important connection that you can ever have. And it brings you into the family. The second benefit is growth. We grow. Absolutely. Our capacity increases. I feel like Bonnie and Josh sharing that this morning. It's like your capacity for stress increases. Your capacity to cope with a bit of mayhem. Become a bigger person. And there's richness of relationship that grows you. We become better at hospitality. You grow as a conversationalist. Who wants to grow as a conversationalist? Oh, gosh, come on. Learn to be a good question asker. And here's a little bonus tip. We've always had those little conversation starter cards, and they are just like, put it out there. Everyone picks one up, shares a thought about whatever it is. You can find them, write them yourself, do whatever. But it's just a conversation starter. If you're just like, yeah, need a little bit of help. I'm an introvert. I don't know what to say. I don't want to speak to people about. I'll have them over and then I'll freeze up. I'm too busy, you know, getting the kettle on or whatever. Get something that will help facilitate that, so we can grow in our ability to be a great conversationalist. There's benefits for your family as well, having your kids included in that. We've always done that in our life and in our family, and had people over and they develop great relationships, and our kids get to see older people and what their model of Christianity is like, and it's such a beautiful thing for them to look up to. They've also learned how to do hospitality themselves in being involved in taking little orders for tea and coffee, or serving things around, being the car park attendant and helping people pull up. So that's the second benefit, is growth. The third one is revelation. Let me share this scripture with you. It's in Luke 24. It's Jesus as He sat down with His disciples after His resurrection. He said, as they sat down to eat, He took the bread and blessed it. This is the Lord's Supper. Then He broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized Him. There's a moment of revelation in hospitality together. It was only after they actually broke this bread and shared it together that their eyes were open. There's revelation that comes in hospitality, the conversations that happen. Don't underestimate the spiritual significance as we gather together and we share the table together. So these are the three benefits: connection, growth, and revelation. The believers devoted themselves. Everyone say devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. That's stirring that up in you, hearing from God. And a little later, I'll give us the opportunity to hear from God, because I feel like He really directs our steps in it. There's so many times that different ideas, different people, different thoughts will come about how to do hospitality, because we're getting guided by God, by the Holy Spirit, because He wants to work with you. He wants you to work with Him. Okay, so how do we do this? There is challenges, right? There's reasons that stop us from doing this, because we go, yeah, I want to do that. Sounds like fun. I want those benefits. What's some of the challenges? Come on, give them to me. Put them out there. Time is definitely a challenge. What else?
Can't cook.
Can't cook. That is a challenge, yes. Messy home, space, exactly. Okay, I want to help you today. Can we unpack this? We're going to give you a few thoughts. It's not always smooth sailing. We've had a few fails of our own, and I know I feel like you always like it when I share our fails with you. We definitely had the people turn up to the front door, knock on the door, and we weren't expecting them that night. We thought it was another night. Oh, that is sad. Oh my gosh, that's an awkward moment because you're like, hi, yes, right. Okay, they're like, you're not expecting, we didn't do a very good job. It's like, no, come in, we'll make it work. The messy house, I think someone said, the messy house. So, we've had kids growing up for so long, and our kids are all like 21 plus now. Happy birthday, Gemma, this week, 21 plus. So all in the young adult years. So back in the day when we had the young kids and the teenage kids and the mess and everything else, we'd try and get out of the house because it's just like too much of a stress to get the house. So we'd go to the park, let's meet there, whatever. Anyway, so one day I was sitting around the table, we were having dinner just with us and the kids. And I was saying to the boys, two teenage boys, it's like, guys, it's so messy downstairs. They had their bedrooms downstairs. It's so messy. It's disgusting. You need to clean it up. It's like a brothel down there. Who used to say that? Or, you know, like you grew up, your parents were saying that. It was just like a normal sort of saying, yes. So my daughter's sitting there and she says, what's a brothel, Mum? No, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. It's just, it means really messy, really messy. It's like, oh my gosh. So, fun times. Hey, we have a full life, but we make time to be hospitable because it's important to us. It's important to us because it's important to God. So I'm going to address those three things right now. First of all, the no time one. And this is a no time / energy one because I feel like sometimes that goes hand in hand. You might have time, but you don't have the energy. It's just like, I'm tired when I get home at the end of the week or at the end of the night. So my first practical tip is for you is to plan it in advance. Make your intentions a reality. There is gaps and windows in your life if you look forward ahead to your schedule. And I'm all about calendarizing things and pre-planning and sort of looking, where's a gap? Where's a window? Because if you can do that, you can make time. And then when it comes to the day, even if you still feel like, oh, I don't have much energy, it's pre-planned. You're committed to it. And you actually get energized by it. So I'm just saying, get out that calendar, look at the schedule a month in advance and go, okay, for the month of June, where's some gaps? What is it for us? Be creative with it. It might be a nighttime, it might be an early morning, it might be an afternoon tea, it might be a supper. It doesn't have to be, a four-hour gourmet dinner, okay. It can just be like an hour and a half, let's catch up for coffee, come over and keep it simple, but plan it in advance. Some of us are spontaneous and awesome. We can make room for that as well. Others of us need to plan ahead to actually make our intention a reality. You know how we're always saying, we should catch up. And you say that, and now we come to June, you go, we still haven't caught up. So this is how you can actually make it a reality. Look at it. Okay, another time tip is to do combination things. So you're already going out for Sunday church, make it a Sunday lunch. You come into Sunday night, make it a dinner afterwards. Combine things with things that are already planned in your calendar, in your schedule that you're going to be doing anyway, and combine it together. Have before small group, have someone over for dinner or meet up. We used to have young adults for dinner on Tuesday nights. One year we said, we're going to be having young adults over at our place for dinner. We have to eat anyway, right? Yes. We eat dinner, yes? Oh, yeah, you're with me. So why don't you come between 6 and 8, and we'd have rotate all these different young adults through, and they'd hang out with our teenage kids, and it was that mutual beneficial. I think, Josh, that was one of the first times that you ever came to our house when we had a family dinner, and Josh was like, almost a teenager yourself, he's like, this was my first model of a family sitting down together for a meal, praying over it, having conversation. It was a little crazy conversation, but that for him was a model of what a family can look like, and created this amazing connection that's gone on for decades. And so we just making time. So being just having a decision and go, when can it work for us? It's going to be different for you than it is for me, but just think about it. Have a little brainstorm session with your spouse if you can. Okay, so how else can we make it easy? Buying takeaway. Okay, if time is an issue, the chicken and chips is very straightforward, very basic. You can just take the pressure off yourself. Okay, nothing fancy. Takeaways. I love this testimony this morning. Bonnie and Josh making it real. Take the pressure off. Receive offers of help. If people want to come over and offer to bring something, yes, you can bring the whole meal. That'd be fantastic. Just bring dinner. We'll provide the venue. Remember, it's about loving people. That's the bottom line. It's about love. So how can you create an atmosphere of love? By keeping it simple, by planning ahead, planning it in advance. Always, it's always worth the effort. It's always afterwards. And even on just beforehand, we might think, oh, we're so tired. I don't know that I have energy for this. Oh, thank goodness it's pre-planned, or we wouldn't have done it. But then we get energized for it. We're so glad that we did. Okay, maybe you don't have any money. Is that a challenge for you? Okay, again, you have to eat anyway, and you can do it on a budget. Yes, Sharon Dimon is an amazing hospitality person and gourmet, but we're not all Sharon Dimon. And she's got decades on some of us, okay? She's been working at it, doing amazing. But so pull that bar down. Potluck is amazing, especially if you don't have money too. You can't provide food for everyone. Everyone brings something. Someone brings a salad. Someone brings some meat. Someone brings bread. Someone brings dessert. Organize it amongst yourself. Doesn't have to be a meal. It could just be dessert or cheese and bickies or afternoon tea. How about a cup of tea? Very cheap, very simple, when it's done in love. And you're praying and believing that God will bless people as they come. Also, we pray and ask God for finances to provide for us so we can be a blessing and be generous. Okay, you don't have a home. All right, what do you do if you don't have a home, or you have a home but you feel like it's not hospitality standard wise? Well, look at Jesus. He did nothing in his home. He had a picnic for 5,000 people. Like, he's the model for us. You can be the instigator. You can be the organizer, the driver of gathering people together. You can organize something. You can book venues in advance. You can turn up and make it happen. You can organize payments. You can go to the picnic, go to the park, bring some tables and chairs or a picnic rug. And let me say, don't let your imperfect house stop you. Because often we think, oh gosh, if I can just get that better home, if I can get that dining table, if I can get a cleaner, tidier house or something, when we do our renos, then we'll start having people over. No, just do it now. People don't really care. They just want to be with you. They just want to be in an atmosphere of love. They just want to feel that connection. They want to be part of a community so we can override the no home. My aim today is to stir you up, to make you realize it's not impossible, that we can get over some of those excuses, some of those challenges. Have a shot. I believe you can do it. And ask God to help you. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. When we're tired, he can strengthen us. He can speak to us. He can give us opportunities that can make it work for us. My aim is to have loads of photos put on social media that tag devoted to hospitality that we can show you on Sundays, like we shared this testimony this morning, and put up these photos of people in our church having their hospitality moments, having this sacred hospitality. What are you going to do out of it today? So just to summarize, there's so many benefits in being devoted to hospitality. We connect to people. People connect into church. People connect to God. We grow. We grow in our capacity. We grow in our abilities. We grow in our skill sets. And we receive revelation from God in it, and he speaks to us, and he opens our eyes out of that. And some of those things today, as I've shared those, how we can get through the challenges, how we can get past that. I hope that God's stirring something in you. I'd love to invite the rest of the worship team to come. I want us to have a moment just of praying into this, because it's like, you know, I can speak and I can share scripture, but it's only God that can bring this revelation and how it can work for you. I know that as we've prayed, as I've prayed with John, and just those thoughts drop into our spirit. First of all, one is just, am I willing? Will I commit? In the month of June, can you commit to having someone organizing hospitality in the month of June? We've got a fast coming up in July, church. We've got a 10-day fast. We're doing this twice this year. We had one in March, one in July. So I'm saying, okay, that starts on July the 8th. Before then, can we commit to hospitality? Because it's a little difficult. It's a little difficult when you're having a little bit of soup to share. We've done it before, and it can work. But let's get really started in that in June this month, and go, okay, let's do it. Why don't we stand to our feet? I want us to pray.